man who's indifferent to you, man, that's the one you want.
Right.
If you find someone who is going to desert you, you're going to run after that guy. You know, so just becoming aware of that can help change. And then creating a scenario that's the antithesis of that. You know, for instance, I know a woman who would always be drawn to the man who was going to desert her or not be true. And when she had someone show up who was the other kind of man, she was bored. Because the exciting man was the man who was going to run around and make her life. You see the dysfunctionality there. Some of the exercises in the book where you can actually rewrite your life, but through fantasy, through imagining, through imaging.
So when you say imaging, like, I just recall one exercise you talk about. And this may or may not apply to what we're talking about, but it was about walking through nature and seeing something that would call you. Like you mentioned specifically in this case, you saw a boulder and you saw some sort of plant, flower growing out of the top of that boulder, and that attracted your attention. So what did you do with that attraction, and how did you use it?
Yeah, that was on Orcas Island. I have the students in a workshop take 15 minutes to do a silent walk, and they just look for something in nature that attracts them. And then they take that image, go back, and just free associate and write whatever comes to mind. And I saw this huge rock border separated from the coast out in the water, all granite, except at the very top a flower was pushed up through the granite. Miraculous. And I saw that as a metaphor for the persistence of life against all odds. You know, it's the blade of grass. It comes up from the sidewalk.
Yes.
It's very persistent, life is. And that was so you find a metaphor, hopefully a positive metaphor. Of course, metaphors can be negative too, but try and choose a positive one that maybe you're in a very difficult time in life and the odds are against you, but here's this flower pushing up. Something in you wants to reach for the light and the positive power that is in you.
Well, what I get from thinking in images rather than in words, words are separated from the way our inner psyche works, so to speak.
I'm just
recently I was with my women's group and we were going to work on different aspects of growing older. And I just could feel that if I approached any of the questions that were coming up with my language, mm-hmm. I would get bogged down pretty fast.
Well, for you, images are stronger than just the words. I mean, that can be, it need not be with everyone, often it is. For instance, I just came back from Kuwait. And imagine a room full of 10 women. They're wearing burqas. And they do the personal myth exercise. I was doing Heal Yourself with writing with them. And this very powerful woman, and Kuwait's the 8th richest country in the world. They're all very wealthy. So they're wearing burqas and carrying $5,000 designer handbags, you know. So just imagine, talk about images, you know. And I did the personal myth exercise is think back to a fairy tale when you were young, what grabbed you, what you resonated with, and just go with the first one that pops in your mind. It could be Sleeping Beauty, could be Snow White, could be the Brady Bunch, a TV show, whatever. Hers was Thumbelina. Now, she wasn't a short woman. She wasn't, but she's living in a patriarchy. And her image, her personal myth was Thumbelina. Thumbelina is so small and invisible, you don't notice her, right?
Right.
A woman exactly. In an Arabic culture, you can get it. And so the more she becomes aware that she's Thumbelina, that she survives, but she's little and overpowered by the forces around her. So it was a very telling myth.
So how then, how would you, if she discovers that personal myth, how would she start to change it then?
She would become aware. She would listen to the voice of that mythic character that's living her life. And what Thumbelina wants, maybe she doesn't want always to be 6 inches high. Maybe she wants to be 6 foot high or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you listen to that inner voice. We all have these inner voices that are both negative and positive. They're usually an internalized parent, or in her case, it could be a culture too that represses women. And
I'm thinking also, like, You devote some time in the book on our shadow side, and one of the exercises or one of the questions that comes up that I thought was very effective is to look at, to understand our shadow side and incorporate it, not to push it away, but to integrate it, is to look at what judgments we are making of other people or what makes us angry.
Yeah. Exactly. I believe, and this is my Jungian influence, because of course it comes from my study of Carl Jung's psychology. I think we're here for the growth of the soul to become integrated and whole. What we do in terms of career, what awards we win, is an offshoot. But the real reason we're here is for this internal growth. If each individual would go to the end of his own shadow and integrate the shadow. What happens if you repress the shadow in you, if you become so new age that you think there's only positive and there's nothing negative, and all you have to do is think good thoughts and nothing bad will ever happen to you? Well, good luck, but you know. but if you don't integrate that shadow, if you try and push it under the carpet, then there'll be inevitable urge to project it on another human being or a group of people, whether it's the Russians or the Jews or whatever. So if each of us could only just integrate our own shadow, become aware of the internalized parent, the negative messages, really hear those voices and process them, then there'd be no need to put it out there on something else, you know. I think that would do more to heal the world than anything else.
We've all heard that phrase, what you resist persists.
Exactly.
So that if we notice what we're pushing away or judging or what makes us really angry. I know for myself, let's see, all right, I was thinking, I kind of did a little bit of this when I was going through the book, and one of the things that really gets to me is when you're on the phone and you're put on this
hold, yes.
this you, they say if you press one to get this or press two, and none of the questions are the questions that none of them pertain, and you can't get to a real live person. That causes a lot of frustration with me.
But let's up the ante.
Okay.
What about recently, the guy in the movie theater that was texting in front of an ex-policeman who was sitting behind him, and the policeman complained, and the guy threw popcorn at him, and the policeman pulled a gun and shot and killed him.
Exactly.
So that's an extreme situation of the principle you just mentioned, and that can happen in a moment, you know.
So it really is beholden on us to really know our triggers and to look at them very square in the face, so to speak.
Probably that ex-policeman had not been heard.
Yes.
He may not have been heard as a child, as a husband, as whatever. So there's a tremendous need for people to be heard. You know, their stories need to be heard.
Yes.
And when they're not heard, that creates a negative side effect often.
So let's talk about that in just one moment. I'm here with Catherine Ann Jones, and she's the author of The Way of Story, The Craft and Soul of Writing, and also Heal Yourself with Writing. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, wayofstory.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. Catherine, you were just talking about listening and how important that is, that people to be heard and listened into. Why is that important?
Well, I'll give a personal example. I have a son I raised. I was 21 when I became a mother. And I love mothering. He says I was a good mother. But when I look back, I would do something different. I was too quick to jump in and try and fix things for my son. I realize now if I went back, I would listen more and help less. Because I think young people, we all do, but especially young people need to be heard and given the space to find their own solutions. You see, sometimes as mothers or even as good friends, we're so quick with the advice, right?
Exactly. Yes. I mean, we do. We worry for them, you know. I mean,
the intentions are good. The intentions, but the road to you know where is paved with good intentions. So I think now, as a friend, as well as a mother or whatever, I try and just be present with friends going through crisis or whatever, and not be so quick for advice and less ask. And just be present. There's no greater act of love than being present.
Do you
without judgment?
Without judgment. That's the key. Without judgment.
That's the key.
Do you find that when you have been truly heard, truly listened to by another?
It's powerful.
That something shifts within you?
Oh, totally. Your heart opens for one thing. You know, the frustration or to be heard and seen as you are on a deep level, there's no greater gift you can give anyone.
And it works in a mysterious way. It's just because you think of listening as being something very passive, but what you're talking about is actually very active.
Very active. And not listening to just find something that relates from your own life and then jumping in and saying, like, I have a friend, bless his heart, I won't mention his names. Everything you say, he never really listens. It just spurs a comment from his own life. And I told a mutual friend of ours jokingly, I have a feeling if I walked up to this guy and said, you know, my mother died yesterday. He said, you know, my mother died too 9 years ago. I kid you not.
We've all met someone like that.
Not even a beat of, I'm sorry. What a terrible, you know, none of that. Just, oh, yes, I had a mother who died once.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what we need to not do.
So in being active in our listening, it's not saying what we say back to the person. It's something else.
It's letting them be the focus, not ourselves.
Yeah. And there's a kind of energetic present when you have been listened to.
It's the third. Jung talks about when two forces come together authentically, it creates a third presence. And that third is greater than either of the part one and part two. So when you come together in that way and you're totally present, it creates that third entity, which is a very powerful spiritual happening.
And can be felt. When it's
totally
present, you know it was there and you feel it. You're transformed in some way.
And you're usually pulled to silence.
Right.
You know, one of the things when I lived in India, I was so taken by, when people come together at a gathering, they'll often sit around having their tea and they'll be quiet. Now, any social gathering of Americans, they never stop talking. You know, they're sharing information. They're sharing.
Talking over one another like I am right now. Yeah.
It's unheard of to simply sit in the presence and enjoy just being together. It's very powerful. Simple, but powerful.
I remember years ago when we were interviewing Marianne Woodman, and she's an an analyst, a Jungian analyst, and she talks about when she was in India, and she was suffering from a debilitating illness. She was very serious, and she would go down into the hotel lobby every day and sit. And this Indian woman would come, and she would sit next to her. Not only sit next to her, she would start to crowd her. And really sit next to her and really butt up against her. And it kind of aggravated her. But in the telling of the story, she started to feel better and better and better. Her physical body started to rebound in good ways. And later she realized that this woman was actually doing a healing on her. But there were no words spoken between them.
I had an incident happen. I had spent 2 years in India with a great sage, my teacher, and I was in New York City, and I was really homesick for India, and I was feeling really down and very vulnerable, and I got on a subway train, and it was late at night, and there was almost no one else in the car, and I had tears in my eyes. The doors open, an Indian couple walked on. Now, the car was empty. This was a husband and wife. They came to me. One sat on one side and one sat on the other side. They never spoke to me. I could tell they were South Indian, and that's where I had come from, South India. And they sat there for 15 minutes on each side of me close, and no word was said, and I just started crying. And then they left. Now, that was a healing. You know, when I said allies will come to help your journey, and they do. And that was an incident. It was like I had dreamt it, but it was real, like a waking dream.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. How about you do an exercise that I loved about looking at our lives, about whether where we want to go. Do we want to stay still? Do we want to to go, you know, we're at the crossroads.
Yes.
Can you say something about being at the crossroads?
When you're at the crossroads, there are three choices. You can go back from where you were. You can stay in indecision at the crossroads and not go anywhere. Or you can make a choice and go forward, choose a new road. Those are the only three choices. So I ask you to decide which of the three you will do and write about that, what it means in your life at this time in your life.
Or you could write about each one of them and then kind of glean from that.
Exactly.
What would happen if I went backwards? I mean, maybe it might be appropriate to revisit something.
To reflect. Absolutely. Yes. Exactly. There's no growth without change. And to be open to change is a decision. It's an option. Sometimes we'll resist change. We're not ready. We fear change and so on. But it's hard to really grow if there are no changes. But the timing has to be right, too. As you say, it might be a time of reflection before choosing that new road.
Right, right.
I came to, what is it, I took the road less traveled, and that has made all the difference, Robert
right.
Frost.
Right. So tell me, what about sharing our writing with others? What's your recommendation
there? That's very powerful. Both of my books came out of the workshop experience. I launched both of these, first at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, and later in England, Omega in New York, and different places here and abroad. And there's something about not only doing the exercises and writing them, but being in a group situation and sharing them. And that's very powerful in itself, because you're reminded that you're not alone. And something you think you're the only one experiencing, others have been at that crossroads too. So now, it's very healing in itself to have a group.
If someone feels like, oh, I'm not a writer, and complains, oh, I don't want to write because I'm not a writer.
Doesn't matter.
What do you say?
Well, with Heal Yourself with Writing, that's for non-writers as well as writers. I've also learned, though, that it's very useful for anyone considering writing a memoir. They want to tell the story of themselves or their family. The exercises are very good jump starts for aspects of your own life. But it's also for non-writers. It's not about learning how to write. my earlier book, The Way of Story, is about learning how to write a narrative. But Heal Yourself with Writing is using writing as a healing methodology for healing grief, trauma, and a deeper self-inquiry, deeper dialogue with yourself. It's a way of getting to know yourself better. And the more you're aware and know your authentic self, the more potential power you have to live the life, your true potential.
You would say that there more creativity is at your fingertips? Or
well, even before I did either of these books, you know, writing for me has been the greatest therapy I know. That applies to all creativity. There's no greater healing modality than creative living. You know, whatever focus it takes, in my case, acting and then writing. So I thought if there's a way to adapt that for non-writers or non-creatives where they can, it's about self-healing. I want to be very clear. I don't heal anyone. It's a self-healing experience. And it's been powerful. I've seen it from in Delhi and Greece and Kuwait. It's very powerful, this ability to self-heal oneself.
I want to thank you so much, Catherine, for being with us today.
A pleasure, a real pleasure, Justine.
Thank you.
I feel I was heard.
Oh, goody. That's a high compliment coming from you. I've been here with Catherine Ann Jones. She's the author of Heal Yourself with Writing. And if you'd like to know more about her work, you can go to her website, wayofstory.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3500.
You've been listening to a New Dimensions archive edition, recorded in 2014. New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
The oak tree was stronger than the reed, but the bark was dented and scarred by the axe thrown carelessly around. I buried my aches in the pages, not to be reopened. I set them down in a hole in the ground, in the ground, in the ground, in the frozen ground. The wind whistling through the leaves whispered like a chorus. You shall make no more mistakes, and you shall waste no more love. You shall not feel any hurt, and you shall inflict no pain. So I chisel threats to be awoken by none, not by the beauty of seven wonders and seas, no bouquets attached by ribbons of leaves, nor the great symphonies, no horses lie, nor the sacred promise of proverbial fire, nor the blossoms of spring, nor the colors of fall, nor the visions of offspring who grow strong and tall, nor the checklist of steps to blindly.
If you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
You're tuned in to CJSF.